Good morning, everyone. Okay, we're going to start with Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. When we consider the new year, many of us reflect on the years past and wonder what the new year will bring. Some see it as a new beginning or like a reset button to start fresh all over again. Anytime we venture into uncharted territory, there's always new apprehensions. But we know as servants of our Lord that He will be there to guide us with His Spirit. Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So when God calls us to do new things, whether it be a new job location, a move from an old house to a new house, or a move from a new city, state, or country, or just being called to do something that is uncomfortable that makes us feel displaced, it can be very challenging. Sometimes we even get angry that we have to do these things, but 100% of the time, God does this for our benefit and the benefit of others, and His Holy Spirit testifies this time and time again. God does the most amazing things when He takes us on new adventures. Even when we aren't fully trusting in Him, He just always seems to come through, even when everything around us has failed. We used to sing this song at church, "In His Time." He makes all things beautiful in His time. We live in a society that gets instant gratification at the touch of a button. Kind of like Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the spoiled kid that gets everything she wants. I want it, and I want it now. But where does this leave God in our lives when we get everything we want? We know He's there, but are we listening to what He is telling us to do? 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is edifying. Nobody should seek his own good, but to the good of others. So, the past few years, we have been studying the Exodus from Egypt with the Jews, and that have been enslaved for hundreds of years. But what about before Egypt? The land of Canaan was promised way back to Abram before God named him Abraham. When God has a plan, He fully executes that plan, no matter how long it takes. We always get in the way of His plans when we decide to do it our own way. Obedience is the key to understanding God's will in our lives. He might even fast forward the unfolding of our path with Him due to obedience, but just remember that it is all within His time. His chosen people began with Abraham. God promised the land of Canaan to his ancestors and gave it to them about 500 years later. How much of that 500 years was a delay due to disobedience? Did the Jews really have to wander for 40 years in order to get the promised land? Or was it lack of obedience and defiance that made it take so long? Jesus tells us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We see God's work unfold when His people are obedient. When the Jews left Egypt, the Egyptian army followed them to the Red Sea, where God parted it for them. We see Miriam sing her song of joy to God afterwards. When the Jews got captured by the Babylonians and were forced to adopt their pagan ways, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put God first in their lives and would not bow down to the Babylonian idols. This put Daniel into the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. None of them were harmed. These boys were displaced from their families, but by trusting in God and not being ashamed to bear His name, they glorify God immensely. By their obedience, they even converted King Nebuchadnezzar to turn to God and praise Him as the one true God. Only God could have saved those boys from what they went through. But those who put hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, not be weary. And they will walk and not be faint. I always think of Joseph being sold off by his brothers to the slavers heading to Egypt. But Joseph was a man of integrity, and no matter what was thrown at him, God always made a bad situation good for him. From running Potiphar's house to getting put in prison, from being in charge of the prison to being in charge of Egypt, Joseph always did his job trusting in God and not being fearful in doing so. Joseph also knew that there was only one reason why he was in Egypt. He had been displaced from his family, but maintained that full relationship with God. Genesis 45:4-8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land. For the next 5 years there will not be plowing, or there will be not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve your remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God." The only time David's life went south was when he was disobedient. But we also see God restoring David's kingdom with David's repentance. We sometimes see change as a punishment. The scenario I always play out in my head is climbing to the top of a mountain, hanging out for a little while, then falling off the other side of the mountain. We all felt that fall one time or another, that God's peace is definitely there. When we do feel like nothing is working out, I always feel closer to Him in times of trouble or uncertainty. I'll never forget when Chris Wilson's house burned down. I expect her to be all sad, but she wasn't. For some reason, and I know now that was the Lord's peace. Guiding her through that troubled time. When God gives us opportunities, we need to take them and accept them as from the Lord. It is always good to pray about these opportunities presented before us from time to time, just so we are not deceived about what is from God and what is not from God. A stranger handing you a sack of money, you might want to pray about. God will also give you the answer you need when you pray. He will also give you the time it takes to feel confident in the new situation, no matter how uncomfortable that situation might seem. We see His people throughout the entire Bible being moved and displaced at some point or another. The story of Gideon shows us how God works for those who love Him and His ways. Judges 6:11-40. It's kind of long if you guys want to read along. angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour, and made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in the basket and his broth in the pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. An angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take a second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down off the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men in the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's curse? The cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he has broken down Baal's altar." Now, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms and also into Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, so they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place the fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save my hand as you did." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. God gave Gideon that blessed assurance that everything would be all right, even in an impossible situation. God allowed Gideon to test him for assurance that's why prayer is so important. God's relationship with us means everything to Him. He loves us so much that He holds absolutely nothing back, including His Son, to bridge that gap between Him and us. Trusting in Him will only benefit us in the long run and glorify God in the process. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So starting the new year can be difficult for some. Repeating routines and trying to make the best of every situation will be burdensome. Knowing God is with us during hard times and good times gives us peace to handle every situation. Drawing from His support allows His peace to flow through our lives and to others. For they will know we are Christians by our love. Spreading His good news flows from the Holy Spirit, bringing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control in our lives. This shows the people we encounter who our God is. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Going through this new year, my prayer for myself and others is that we remember who we are, God's children. And then Isaiah 32:17-20. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens forests and the city is leveled completely, how blessed will you be, sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free.